Thank God. Well, we spent some time in a series called Strong in Spirit. I think we have at least one more, if not a few more, of these. Well, we're going to review just a little bit, and then we'll go on. If you could just look on your sheet, and they'll put it up on the screen too, just in review. Luke 2:40, it says, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." The child grew and became strong in spirit. Talking about Jesus. Jesus had to grow while he was here on the earth. He didn't, you know, come out of the womb and know that he was the Messiah, the Christ. He had to grow. He had to be strengthened. He had good parents. He didn't have perfect parents, but he had good parents that showed him the way of truth. And he had to grow. The Bible says that he grew, strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. 1 Corinthians 3:1 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able." So we see that there's the potential to be spiritual, there's the potential to be carnal. And that's what we've been talking about. Carnal just means natural. But notice what it says right after that. It says, "I could not speak to you as to spiritual, but as to carnal," or natural, "as to babes," or we would say babies. Babies have to be taken care of. Babies don't do anything for themselves. They have to be able to grow, to be able to start taking certain tasks and then eventually responsibilities. But here it's comparing and contrasting spiritual to babies or to carnal. And here, the Apostle Paul is saying, "I could not speak to you as to spiritual, but as to carnal," natural. We spent some time talking about that. But we want to be strong. We want to be spiritual. We want to be strong in our spirit. And we've talked about that. We need good spiritual food. We need to water the word that we've implanted in our hearts. We have to exercise it, exercise ourselves spiritually. But we spent a number of Sundays talking about different facets of this. Look at Ephesians 3:14 on your sheet there. Ephesians 3:14. "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." And this is one of the foundational scriptures we've touched on throughout this time. Notice second part of verse 16. It says, "to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." We want to be, that's what it means to be strong in spirit, that you're strong in your inner man. And we talked about, we don't have time to recap all this, but go back and listen to those messages if you didn't hear them. It would help you just to start at the beginning and go through. Now that, you could listen to those close together because you're catching up on something that we're already covering, and they follow, they build on one another. That would help you. But we can't cover all the different things we cover. But one thing we cover is that man is a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. We are a spirit person, number one. Yes. And that's where we want to be strong. If you're strong in spirit, you can get over the hump in anything physical. Your mind, as you renew your mind to the Word, it can be cleared up, and so you can see clearly. But if you're strong in spirit, then you're going to be believing something. And as you believe something, it's going to be coming out of your mouth. And as it comes out of your mouth, your mind is going to hear it. You can renew your mind over time. But if you're weak in spirit, Doesn't matter how strong your body is, if you come up against some wall physically and you are weak in spirit, it can take you out. If something comes against your mind, you know, we live in a fallen world, don't we? And not everybody glorifies God in the world. Not everything glorifies God. It shouldn't surprise us when we're driving down the highway, when we go into the mall, when we turn on the TV, when we go online, that not everything is godly. Because not everybody worships the Creator. Not everybody worships God. And not everybody accepts Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. And so we constantly have things hitting our mind that aren't godly. They if you're not careful, if we don't guard our minds, those thoughts can come in. And if that's all we meditate on is what's going on in the world, it can squash anything that's going on good. Eventually, that's going to, what you think on is going to get into your heart. We've been talking about this on Wednesday. If you think on something long enough, it's going to get in your heart. It's going to affect your believing. So if you're weak in spirit, there's nothing to counteract these godless ideas in the world. But if you're strong in spirit, regardless of what comes in your mind, regardless of what comes against your body, you can overcome. But if we're weak spiritually, if we let ourselves get tapped, if we don't grow, if we just are not feeding ourselves, as you get weak, your other parts of your being will start overtaking us. And your flesh, it just wants to do what it wants to do. Anybody found that out? It just, you let your flesh go. That's why when people talk about, well, you know, just let the child figure out their own way, they're not going to go in the right way. Nobody does. They need to be directed. They need to be brought back. They need to be directed to the truth. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. They need help. Because left to their little flesh, they're going to do just like your flesh. They're going to do whatever they feel like doing. And if we just do whatever we feel like doing, we're going to end up in a bad place. So our other parts of our being, if they're not, you know, your flesh is going to be your flesh your whole life. You're going to have to deal with it. We may not like it, but it's the truth. Nobody's flesh is renewed. You can train it, you can discipline it, but it is not going to just fall into line and then never give you any trouble. We have to just keep it in check. Doesn't matter how long, anybody you know on the earth, and no matter how long we've walked with the Lord, we still have flesh to deal with. And the Bible says to keep it under. Our minds, we need to renew our minds to the Word of God. That's what's going on right now, is we're renewing our minds. What does the Word say? And we need to replace any thoughts that are against the Word with the Word. So we want to be strong in our spirit. That's what we've been talking about, strong spiritually. Here it says, verse 16, that you would be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Notice that. Rooted and grounded in love. Now, we've been talking about the last several times about walking in the love of God. About a spiritual person will walk in love. And we read some. Go down on your sheet really quick. We'll come back to this. But what we were on last time, and we'll just hook up here and then move on. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. We'll read this in the Amplified, and I think we'll read it in another version a little bit. But just to hook up with where we were the last time. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. You have that on your sheet? In the Amplified, it says, love endures long and is patient and kind. Now, this is giving us a picture of the God kind of love. God is love. This is how This is the love that's been shed abroad in our heart, that's been poured out in our heart. This is the love with which God loves us. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is never envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. It is not rude or unmannerly, does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong, does not rejoice in injustice and in unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Verse 7, love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. Now, that's a ton right there. We're not going to go delve into all the different parts of it, but we ended up last time emphasizing love doesn't fail. Okay, all these things, like I said, we may touch on some of these things in a different version in a minute here, but walking according to what this says and according to the love that's on the inside of us, if we line up with the Word of God here, the love of God on the inside of us, it will never fail in any circumstance. The mark of a spiritual person, one strong mark, is that a spiritual person, a person that's strong in their heart, will walk in love. And we went through all this. If you weren't with us, go back and listen. It's not, being spiritual is not what a lot of people think it is. It doesn't matter. I mean, quoting Bible verses is good, but you know you can quote Bible verses and be a spiritual baby. Do you realize that? We went all through this. I don't want to recap all that, but it being strong in your spirit means you're going to act like Jesus. God is love. And so we're going to act like that. And so we ended up talking about the fact that love will never fail. Acting like God in a situation that is walking in love, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's on your job, with your children, with your friends, on the highway, whatever, it will always work. It will never fail. And we spent some time on that. What it looks like, a spiritual person looks like, and that we will yield to love. And it's just yielding. Again, your flesh may not feel like it, but we're talking about what your spirit says. And if you're strong, your spirit will dominate. Your flesh may say, nah, I want to do this. I want to tell him off. I want to give him a piece of my mind. And if you're strong in spirit, our spirit will knock our flesh down and say, shut up. I'm not listening to you. This is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if our spirit is weak and our mouth wants to shoot off, guess what probably is going to happen? Our mouth is going to go, and then we're going to clean up the mess. See, it's what is the strong part of our being? The stronger spiritually are, the more we're going to say no. Love is a choice. See, it's not a feeling that people so often, you know, now, oh, I just love you. Well, what that usually means is I feel good when I'm around you. But if that changes, you know, you tick me off, well, I don't love you anymore. That's not love. That's feeling good. But what I want to focus on today, we spent some time on what it looks like and how our part is, that we need to flow with the love that has been poured out on the inside of us. Look at, real quick before we go on, Romans 5. It's on your sheet there, Romans 5, 1. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, or which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, we touched on this. This love that we have, God's love, the Word says here, it has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Has been. Is has been past tense, present, or future? It's past. What does that mean? It has been accomplished. It has been done. We couldn't say we don't have the love in us. If we're going to believe Scripture, when we're born again here, if you're a born again child of God, that means you've trusted, you've confessed the Lord Jesus as your Savior, believed on Him as the Messiah, made Him the Lord of your life. Here it says, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we have it. The Bible said, love never fails. But here's the thing, and this is what I want to focus on today. For this to work in our lives, and for us to be truly strong, we've been talking about what it looks like. What's the mark of a spiritual person? Ultimately, a person that walks in love is spiritual, that yields to the love of God on the inside of them. For this, though, to be vital in our life and flowing, we need to be convinced of how much God loves us. For you truly to be strong. See, if we know that love is on the inside of us, but we don't realize how much God loves us, there's going to be a disconnect. Amen. It can become, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't know how to do it. Now, the Bible tells us how to do it. We just read it briefly in 1 Corinthians. It shows us what love looks like. But at the same time, if we're not convinced of how much God loves us, we're going to go over some scripture along those lines, it can become religion to us. It becomes, I know what I'm supposed to do. I know I'm supposed to yield. I know what a spiritual person is supposed to look like. But we're truly strong and founded and on a foundation. No, go. Can you go back to Ephesians? Look on your sheet, the Ephesians 3 that we started out in. Ephesians 3:16. It says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. That you would be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, in the heart. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in what? In love. Rooted and grounded. What is rooted and grounded? Now, I'm not a farmer. I'm from Nebraska, but not everybody from Nebraska is a farmer. Just so you know. I came from the city. I had a golf course in my background, in my backyard running through, and I'm not a golfer either. I've probably been on a golf course 5 times in my life. Well, to golf. We used to go on the golf course to get golf balls, and we used to sell golf balls. We used to put them in egg cartons. We had empty lots next to us that were there forever, and they would just have all these weeds. And we were in a cul-de-sac. If you can imagine it, there's a tee up here. It's coming around here. And then we have a cul-de-sac right down the middle. So you get hit on multiple holes. Well, guess what? In all those weeds, a lot of golf balls. So we as kids would walk through and look for golf balls, and we thought the colored ones were more, you know, I don't know, cooler. They were cooler, so we would sell those for more, and the golfers would just shake their heads and go, why is this 50 cents in the white ones? This is a perfectly good, you know, $3 golf ball. You're selling it for 25, and you're selling this cool-looking fluorescent yellow ball for 50. But it was cheap. It was a bargain for them anyway, so they would just pay us and go on. But we would put them in egg cartons and sit there by the fence and try to sell golf balls. But I'm not a golfer, and I'm not a farmer, like I was saying anyway. But rooted and grounded in love. What does rooted and grounded mean? That means you're established. I mean, if something is rooted and grounded, if a crop is rooted and grounded, it's there. Or, you know, you just look in your yard, If something is rooted and grounded, it is stable and strong. Well, what does this say? That we're supposed to be rooted and grounded in what? Love. Well, you can't just be rooted and grounded in something that you're doing. This is talking about you being rooted and grounded in His love. Verse 18, that you may able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. What does that mean? Well, you don't get it up here in your head that you would know it. What are we talking about? Being strong. It says being rooted and grounded in love, being strong, strengthened in the inner man. See, you receive the things of God in your heart, not in your head. This is where so many have missed it. They've tried to make faith of the head. It's not of the head, it's of the heart, the Bible says. It's with the heart one believes, it says in Romans 10, verse 8 through 10, and 9 and 10. It's with our heart that we believe. Well, love is of the heart. You don't get reasoned out of love. If you love somebody, I mean, anybody that's ever been in love knows this. I mean, people will be, you can try to reason with somebody that's in love, or, you know, they're after somebody. Does that work? No, it's of the heart. You don't talk somebody out of loving somebody. You don't talk somebody. It's a choice. But it's of the heart. People love from their heart. People have faith from their heart. So this is, when we're talking about knowing the love of God, knowing the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, you don't get it up here. You don't love somebody with your head. Do we? Well, you know, intellectually, I love them. I can understand all the qualities about them. And it usually doesn't work that way. I mean, people might try to do it. It just doesn't work that way. But people may try to go down a list and do the check boxes. And no, it's of the heart. We love with our heart. So people have tried to make faith and knowing God of the head. It's not. It's of our heart. It's of our born-again spirit. That's how we approach God. That's where we need to be convinced. You receive the Word of God like we're doing right now with our heart. We receive it by faith. See, your head may say, how is something that the Word says possible? And see, this is where so many have missed it. I need to understand it with my head. I need to understand it before all believe in Jesus. That's contradiction. You can't understand. How are you going to understand that the Son of the living God came to earth, born of a virgin, came out as a baby, walked the earth, was crucified on a cross, and He did that and rose from the dead as payment for you and I, as redemption. Your head goes, what? Does it? Your head is like, that is amazing. If you think about what the Bible teaches, your head doesn't get it. You can't receive that with your head. We receive it with our heart. We need to be convinced of God's love in our heart. This is how we're going to be strong. Verse 19 says, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Notice that. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How are we going to be filled with all the fullness of God? We're going to know the love of Christ. This is the ultimate foundation that we're going to be strong. This is the anchor with which we are going to be able to weather all of life's storms. Being strong in Him. Let's go ahead and turn over to John 16. John 16, verse 26. John John 16, verse 26. It says, "In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and believed that I came forth from God." Verse 27, the Father himself loves you. Now here he's talking to the disciples. People say, well, that's just the disciples he loves. Well, we're going to read another verse, and then we have many verses in the New Covenant that all bear witness with the same thing. The Father himself loves you. Look at John 17, verse 20. It says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you." So notice the verse 20. It says, "I do not pray for these alone." He's talking, praying for his disciples, "but also for those who will believe in me through their word." Well, who's that? That's us. We believe the word. This, right, what we're reading right now is based, this is John's word, an account of Jesus. Thank God we have it in print. In any number of forms, any number of versions and translations, we have the Word of God, and so Jesus himself is praying for us here. Isn't that awesome? It says, verse 20 again, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, and that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." Notice the last part of that. "I in them and you in me," this is Jesus praying, "that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." Jesus is saying that we would know that we love our love just like Jesus is loved. Isn't that what it says? "That you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." Now, your mind does not comprehend that. I don't care how long you've been saved. You have to take that by faith. The Bible says here that we're loved by the Father the same as the Father loves Jesus. Well, it's easy to believe. It's easy to believe he loves Jesus. Jesus is the perfect Son of God. You know you. I know me, right? To believe that God loves you the same as he loves Jesus, the same. The same as he loves Jesus? What does the same mean? Well, I know it says the same, but what does it say? It says the same. Does your mind go, oh yeah, I get it. Let's move on. Right there, your mind is like, the same as, it's like, surely there's a catch. I know that's the Bible said. Now, okay, whatever. We'll leave that. But, doesn't it? Your mind is like caught. It's like talking about infinity. You can't. It's like God has always been. And we're going to live forever. Your mind is like, it just doesn't compute. Does it? It doesn't have the power to comprehend that. We can talk about it. We can say, yeah, yeah. Our minds are not made to comprehend forever. Everything we know has a beginning and has an end, right? But God has always been, and He always will be, and you will always be. Your mind, my mind, does not understand that. And it does not understand this. God loves you the same as He loves Jesus. We have to take that by faith. There is no other way to take it. It's not logical. You can't prove it mathematically. You can't do a bunch of research on it and come to this conclusion. It doesn't make any sense. Why would He love you and me as much as He loves Jesus? Have you been as good as Jesus? Have we? No. This is a gift. And we could just sit here for the rest of the time and just meditate on this, and it would be time well spent. Because so many times our head starts getting in the way of what the Word of God says. And this is why we're talking about being strong in spirit. Our heart can receive things that our head cannot. The Bible says the Word is spiritually discerned. And if we start letting our head dictate what we do and do not accept, that's not letting our heart be on the throne. That's what trips us up. We can argue ourselves out of God's best for us. And it's pretty easy to do. Because like I said, you know you. I know me. We need to accept these things by faith. Believe them. There is no other way to accept it. If we're going to be strong in our heart, we need to believe this, and we need to be convinced. And all of us are growing in this. Can you put up Ephesians 1, verse 3? We're just going to read some scriptures telling us these same things. Ephesians 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." It doesn't say who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing because you're awesome. You're so awesome. And you've done such an awesome job. So therefore, you should be blessed. It doesn't say that. It says it's in Christ. "Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved." We are accepted because of Jesus. We are loved just as Jesus is loved, because He is our redemption. And so God legally can bless us with every spiritual blessing. God loved us before we did anything. We'll see that. Before we did anything, before you were born, before I was born, He already made this decision. And He predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ. Look at 1 John 3 on your sheet. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Again, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve to be in the family of God. It's because of what Jesus did. Look at Ephesians 2, 4. says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Notice verse 4. Because of his great love with which he loved us. He loved us so much, and we saw that he loves us the same as he loves Jesus. Verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses. That means even when we had nothing to offer, even when we were completely having done nothing good, God loved us and made us alive together with Christ. When we had done nothing good. See, before we had earned anything, which you're not going to earn anything, I just use that as a figure of speech, people think they're trying to earn something from God. And we get to this, if we've been good, then we deserve more. It's not true. What God has been able to do for us in Jesus is because of what Jesus did. Our job is to receive it. Our job is to walk in it, because all this was done before you and I were even on the scene. All we did is come in and we can receive it. But God made up his mind to do it before you had done anything good or bad. But we know everyone in here has messed up. But we can't let that talk us out of what God has done and the love he has for us. He loves us. He loved you and me before we did anything good. All we deserved is death. And so is it logical then for him somehow to stop loving us now that we missed it on the earth? He already knew that. That's why Jesus came. But it's easy to talk ourselves out of the blessings of God because we don't walk out this life perfectly. And that will cause us to be weak. Because we're really getting into trying to rely on our own ability to somehow earn the love of God, and we can't earn it. We can only receive it. You can't figure it out. Why would God do this? Why would God love me? He esteemed us valuable enough to send Jesus, to purchase us. Look at Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. Notice that, verse 6, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the, what? Ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. Verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, while we didn't deserve it, while we're ungodly, Christ died for us. That's how much God loved us. He died for us, sent Jesus to die for us, while we were ungodly and sinners. That's how much he loves us. So what does that mean about while we're walking out this earth, walking this life out on the earth, if we get focused on our performance, see, we can disqualify ourselves because of what we do or don't do when God sent Jesus before we did anything right. That's the reason he had to send Jesus, is because we weren't going to do everything right. Otherwise, we didn't need a Savior. You guys with me? If we don't need a Savior, if we're already perfect, we walk like God. Jesus was not needed for your case. But we all know, that's why we're laughing, that's not true. That's why Jesus had to come. And he knew we weren't godly. This is before you and I were born. He already saw ahead. He saw they're going to need a Savior, and he loved us so much that he sent Jesus before we had done anything for him. This is what love does. So in his love, in his redemptive work, we have strength. It's because he already did it before you and I had anything to do with it. Now we receive that. Now that doesn't mean we just say, okay, whatever, it doesn't matter what I do. No, it matters what we do. If we do miss it, there is cleansing through his blood. But to somehow think, I missed it, so now I'm disqualified. Well, we want to walk in the light we have, and if we miss it, 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. What that means is, if you miss it, the answer is not to say, go into a corner and say, I missed it, forget it, I'm so stupid, and God doesn't love me, God could never help me. No, God already knew all that, already sent Jesus. The answer is to say, God, that was wrong. I have missed it. Thank you for Jesus. I'm coming right back into where I need to be. I thank you for what Jesus did. Thank you for that blood. Thank you that because of what your word says here, if I acknowledge it, I'm clean, as if I'd never sinned. Like this. It doesn't mean you're out of the family if we miss it. That means, what is going on when we miss it? What starts to happen? If we let condemnation come in, we start running away from God. The way to get rid of the condemnation, it's not God condemning us, but it's us yielding to it. The way to get back into it is just say, yep, that was wrong. Thank you for Jesus. And just snap right back and just walk on right down the road. But if we're not convinced of what he's done in his love, we'll let this cripple us. Your mind will start warring against you, the part, if it's not renewed by the word of God, can talk you out of what is already ours through Jesus. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners. We were still sinners. We hadn't done anything for him. We already were unqualified, and that in that state, God sent Jesus. So if we've missed it, are we in a worse state than what he just described here? Did we do? We were already sinners, and God sent Jesus. So now what tends to happen is we miss it. Now, we're not setting ourselves up to miss it. We're not planning to do it. Okay? We shouldn't make a way to say, okay, I'm planning to miss it. But when we do, we should not go, oh, well, now I've missed it. Now God can't love me. He already did it before when we were in a condition. So why would we talk ourselves out of it when we miss it? This is one of the fundamental things for us being strong and walking strong spiritually, because you know as well as I do, when you miss it, when you say something you shouldn't, when you fail to walk in love, which is what we've talked about, that's the New Testament law. When we violate our heart, the enemy is right there to try to say, you did that. You said that. You shouldn't have done it. And basically, you don't deserve anything from God. And if our minds are not renewed, if we're not strong, if we've been feeding on other junk, the more susceptible that we are to those lies, and then we start separating ourselves from God. When the whole reason Jesus came is to take care of that problem. That's the whole reason he came, is so that we could walk close to God, in spite of the fact that you and I aren't perfect. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody want to stand up and say, I take exception to that. I am perfect, actually. So, like I said, we don't plan for it. We don't plan to do it. I mean, but if we miss it, the enemy is real quick there to try to condemn you, to try to bring thoughts to you. How could your prayers be answered now? You don't deserve this, etc. To separate you from God, when the whole reason Jesus came is so you wouldn't be separated from God, the answer is, yeah, I missed it. I'm not proud of it. I'm not boasting about it. But Lord, that was wrong. Forgive me and get right up and go on and stay strong. And if you need to apologize to somebody else, your conscience bothers you, apologize. Get it right. But don't somehow say God doesn't love me or I'm just the exception. No, you're the rule. Everybody in the world is dealing with the same thing because we're all human. Amen?
Amen?
We've all missed it. It's in day-to-day life. If it's just in church, we're going to say, oh, thank God for the blood of Jesus and we're just clean. And as soon as we go out in the car and if we get in an argument, oh, well, forget that Christian stuff. Forget it now. I don't know. Let's pray. I can't pray. I'm in an argument. And that's exactly what happens. Or you say something you should, you do something you shouldn't do, and it's like, oh, well, I felt pretty good when I left, but now look what I did. I'm never going to do it right. I messed up. Welcome to the club. That's why Jesus came. The right answer is, I missed it again. That was wrong. Honey, forgive me. Son, forgive me. Daughter, forgive me. That was wrong. It was stupid. I yielded the wrong thing. Will you forgive me? Yes. God, that was wrong. Thank you for Jesus. You said if I just acknowledge it. See, to confess isn't some religious term. It just means, yeah, that was wrong. It was stupid. And the Bible says, as opposed to saying, oh, I didn't do anything wrong. See, that then we're hardening ourselves. And that's where guilt, see, if we say, no, some people try, nope, it's not wrong, no, it's not wrong, conscience is bothering us, nope, it's not wrong, that will drive you right away from God. Because you know in your heart, I shouldn't have done it, and still people associate that with somehow, God's the one that loved us before we did anything. He's not the problem. The right answer is, Lord, that was stupid, I'm sorry, I don't plan on doing that again, but I messed up. Please forgive me. The Bible says at that moment, he cleanses you. That means your conscience can be clear if you believe what the Bible says. If you don't, again, with your head, if you're saying, ah, but I still feel bad, there's not a problem with God. At that point, there's no problem with God. It's with our head. If we've done what the Bible said, can you just put that up real quick? Because not everybody probably knows it. 1 John 1:9. Not going completely in this direction, but this all goes together. Don't want to assume people know what we're talking about. This is not speaking to sinners. This is speaking to Christians. We talked about this some on Wednesday nights. If you haven't been with us in the current series, go back, listen to the first few. We talked about the difference of what the Bible talks about with people that have not received Jesus and then people that have, and the different types of confession. This says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's not being born again. That's saying we missed it. We knew we shouldn't have done it. But just acknowledge. Confess means to acknowledge. And this what confess means to say something we know is true. That was wrong. I missed it. But the Bible says if we do that, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means, woo, just like I never did anything wrong. Question. What if you miss it again 5 minutes later? This doesn't apply anything, right, anymore, right? It's only good once per hour. Or once per day. Once per week. Is that true? No, the Bible says that, you know, one of the disciples asking Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? And they're thinking, seven good? I think that's good. Seven? Being pretty generous. And he said, no, 70 times seven. Well, that's the number of perfection. He's not even literally saying 490. Although if he did say 490, that's a lot in a day. That's quite a bit. You'd really have to be on it. Be messing up that many times. I mean, you got to sleep, you got to eat. I mean, how many times can you? But God is not going to ask us to do something He wouldn't do. So if we miss it, and what if we, you know, we just do it, we miss it again 5 minutes later? What are we supposed to do? Same thing. What if we miss it again? What if we have a really bad day? And we're dealing with the same thing over and over. Should we say, all right, that's it, forget it. God cannot possibly love me. He cannot possibly forgive me. Where in the Bible does it say that? Or does the Bible still apply? Now, I'm not, is it fun to miss it? Is it going to bless our family and bless, you know, be the best for us? Nobody wants to do that. We're being stupid if we say, no, this is a good idea. I'm just going to do it again. That's like taking a hammer. Anybody ever hit your thumb or finger with a hammer? When you're aiming for the nail, it doesn't feel good. I can tell you, I've done it. Well, is it a good idea to be like, ooh, that hurt. I think I'm going to do it again. Well, that hurt. I can still feel my hand though and do it again. Is that smart? If somebody walked by you and said, ooh, my thumb hurts, and they saw you hit your thumb again with the hammer, they might ask you a question. Or give you a suggestion, maybe. Why don't you stop hitting your thumb with the hammer? Well, it's the same thing. You know, if you've ever done anything with construction, if you have done that more than once, you're not hitting your thumb because you want to. You messed up, right? But it's not going to help you. If you mess it in life, it's not like, ooh, this is great. No, the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. But the good news is, if we miss it, there's cleansing and forgiveness, and we can get up and say, no, God has already taken care of this. I'm not proud of it, but Lord, forgive me. See, we start wearing on getting tired of ourselves, and we're the ones that will turn our back. Not God. Did you hear me? God already made the decision before you and I were born. And His love was already toward us before we were born. He demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If we will get that ingrained in our heart to where if we miss it, we say, Lord, forgive me. I'm clean, and go right on. And then if we do it again, we say the same thing. If we understand that God's love will be there regardless of how many times, that will actually give us the strength to stop doing it. See, if we beat ourselves up, if we do it three times, we say that's it, and we go off into a corner and just beat ourselves up, and then until we feel like it 3-4 weeks later, we wake up and come back and go, oh, well, all right, now it's been long enough. Now I'm coming back to God. If we do that, then as we start to walk things out, we miss it, we may forgive us ourselves. We miss it again, we may forgive ourselves. But what is looming in our back of our mind is if I miss it two times, that's it, and I'm going to I'm going to condemn myself, that will actually give strength to the thing we're trying to overcome. But if we realize, no matter how many times I do this, God will forgive me and He loves me, and I can be blessed, that actually gives us the strength to power through and overcome. When you think somebody's going to leave you, if you mess it, that'll be putting you tentative and on eggshells, right? But if you realize, I'm accepted in the Beloved, I'm accepted because of what Jesus did, and I don't want to do wrong, but if I miss it, He is there, and I can run to Him. That gives us the strength to actually walk this Christian life. That puts us over. Amen? Glory to God. Praise God. Let's go ahead and you just please stand to your feet. Let's just thank Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. All that you've done for us through Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are good. Now, with every eye closed, every head bowed, let's go ahead and say this together. And just, we're talking about that we've been born again, we've confessed Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Let's reaffirm that. And if you have never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is a good time. You just say it right along. Believe with your heart what we've said and say it with your mouth. I'm going to read this scripture really quick before we do that. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Can you put up Romans 10? You can just look up at this. This is how we just looked at 1 John 1, 9. That's not how you get born again. This is how we get born again. It says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Can you go back to verse 9, please? That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how you become born again. So let's just do that together. Go ahead, bow your heads, and let's say this. Let's confess this. If it's the first time or if you're reaffirming, say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I confess that He is the sent one, the Messiah, the Redeemer of the world. I believe that God has raised Him from the dead. I confess Him Lord of my life. I am now saved. I am now born again. I am now a child of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, we thank You. We thank You. We're reaffirming what we believe. And because of that, Lord, You love us. You, before the foundation of the world, You decided to send Jesus to die for us because You loved us. We're so thankful. 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 Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to go ahead and we're just going to spend just a moment here. And if there is something then, if you've confessed that for the first time, you're born again, everything that you had done before is taken care of, you are a new person. But if you walked in here and you were confessing that and saying that again. You were reaffirming that. But you walked in here and there is guilt or condemnation been nagging you. If you've been feeling like you're far away from God, it may have been just something this morning. It may have been something last week. May have been something last month. May have been a series of things. It's just that it is pushing on you and it is stealing your joy and your peace and your contentment because you feel like you're not quite right with God. If that's true, then let's just get that taken care of right now, going forward, and show what we need to do. Just as that, if there's things like that, how we deal with it. We just say, according to 1 John 1:9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So right now, we can put it behind us. You just, under your breath, all we need to do is say, Lord, I acknowledge whatever it is. You don't have to say it out loud. But right now, you can think of, if there's something been nagging you or multiple things been nagging you, bring it to mind right now. Don't have to tell anybody. Don't have to say it out loud, but bring it to mind right now. You don't have to drudge up everything you've done. If there's something that you know your conscience is bothering you specifically, it's been pushing on you, there's nothing, then don't make something up. If you're already right with God, don't make something up. But if you know if there is something, then your conscience has been bothering you. Now, if you have that right now, you're aware of that, then right now, the Bible says if you confess that, if you acknowledge it, that that God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So just together, just so you're able to say that, everybody say this together. If there's nothing specifically, just say it with us. Just say, Lord, I acknowledge that.
Lord, I acknowledge that.
Now inside, you're saying whatever that is. Lord, you said, I acknowledge that is sin.
You said,
if I confess my sin, you're faithful and just to forgive me my sin and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. So according to your word, I'm clean, just as though I'd never done anything wrong. My conscience is clean. I choose to believe your word. I choose not to go by my feelings, my emotions. I choose to believe you. And you said, if I acknowledge it, if I confess it, I'm clean. I'm forgiven. So I'm clean. I'm forgiven. I thank you for what Jesus has done for me. I thank you for the love of God. I thank you that that love is toward me. I thank you, God, that you love me and you showed me in Jesus. I'm clean. I'm whole. I'm accepted. Glory to you, Lord. Now just go ahead and thank him. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you that because of what Jesus did, we can walk strong. We can walk with our head up. We can walk with our shoulders back and know that you are on our side, that you love us, that you're just in being for us. You're just in blessing us because, not because of us, not because of our strength, not because of everything that we've done so right, but because of Jesus, because of the redemption. And we glorify you. And we say as we walk forward today, as we leave this place, as we go out into the world, Lord, if we miss it, we'll get right back up. We'll do the same thing. We'll just say, Lord, that was wrong. Thank you for Jesus and go on. And we'll become God conscious and love conscious instead of sin conscious.